Hello and welcome to this Grace Baptist Mission Media Podcast. You're going to hear Serving Today, a program for pastors and church leaders. If you're involved in discipling others, or perhaps you teach the Bible one-to-one or in a small group, Serving Today will be relevant for a wide range of believers. Welcome to Serving Today, the program for the leaders in God's church. I'm Andrew Cook, and it's good to be together once more. Christian Basics, more on the doctrine of man. Here on Serving Today, we're continuing to consider the Bible's Christian basic teaching about man. And we're going to think together about sin, which we saw last time came into the world when Adam and Eve disobeyed God. Now, I'm sure you are aware that many things can be described in lots of different ways. For example, a group of people may look at a painting and one will say the colours are amazing, while another that the artist has caught the subject just right, and still another may say it was in a lovely frame. Well, likewise, the Bible describes sin in a number of ways, and we'll start by considering these. Dr. John Hall is helping us again, and when Derek French spoke with John, he asked him to explain the different ways the Bible talks about sin.
Well, there are four different definitions of sin from the Bible, and that's what we're going to look at now. Firstly, the word itself means missing the mark. I don't know if you've ever played with bows and arrows. An arrow is aimed at the bullseye on the target. And sin means that it always falls short of that bullseye. And our lives are like that when it comes to pleasing God and keeping his law. For it says in Romans 3:23, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Secondly, sin is breaking God's law. To fall short of something, you see, or to break something, a standard has to be set. And God sets the standards. He's the creator, he's made us, he's the right to set the standards. And the standards are summarized by the Ten Commandments. And we all break that law, as the Apostle John writes in 1 John 3 and verse 4. Could you read that for us, please, Derek?
Yes, John writes, "Everyone who sins breaks the law. In fact, sin is lawlessness."
Sin is lawlessness, breaking the law. Thirdly, perhaps the sin we commit most often is this: knowing the good we ought to do and not doing it. Knowing we should love and obey God and not doing it. Knowing we should believe in Jesus Christ and not doing it. Knowing we should love our neighbour as ourselves and not doing it. Please read, Derek, what the Apostle James writes in his epistle, chapter 4 and verse 17.
"Anyone then who knows the good he ought to do and doesn't do it sins."
You know that you should do good and you don't do it. That is sin. Sins of omission. Fourthly, is a complicated idea of sin and something which is often difficult to understand, but not acting in faith is seen as sin. Please, could you read Romans 14:23?
"Everything that does not come from faith is sin."
You see, we must live our whole lives trusting in God and obeying his word because of that trust. To fail to do that, to fail to believe in God, is sin. To live our lives without such faith is sin. Even our good works are unacceptable to God unless they are done as a result of love for God and faith in God.
John, all this teaching really from the Bible about our sin is very, very penetrating, isn't it? Where should this lead us then?
Well, it shows us that we all are, as the Bible says, sinners before God. The God who made us can call us to account and can judge us, and we shall all fall short in that judgment. We're all lost and condemned, condemned to die, condemned to everlasting punishment, unless someone intervenes to save us. And so we can see here again the need we have of a saviour, and Jesus Christ is that saviour. And that's why it's important you hear about him, but more than that, that you trust in him.
Having considered the Bible's description of sin, the question arises, how does sin affect us? And this is how John Hall answered that.
The effects of sin are very far-reaching indeed for all of us. For everyone alive on our planet, we're all sinners, and we're all subject to these consequences. Firstly, we are spiritually dead to God. We are unable and unwilling to respond to the God who has made us by our own ability. Derek, please could you read Ephesians 2, 1-3 for us?
Yes, these are words from Paul to the Ephesians describing what they were like before they were Christians. And as for you, you were dead in your transgressions and sins, in which you used to live when you followed the ways of this world and the ruler of the kingdom of the air, the spirit who is now at work in those who are disobedient. All of us lived among them at one time, gratifying the cravings of our sinful nature and following its desires and thoughts. Like the rest, we were by nature objects of wrath.
You notice there, the Apostle Paul writes that they were dead in their transgressions and sins. They were subject to Satan. He ruled them, the prince of the power of the air. They were disobedient to God. And as a result of all this, they were objects of God's wrath, God's just anger. Paul also writes about the desperate nature our sin leads us into in Romans 8, verses 5-8, which Derek's going to read to us now.
Those who live according to the sinful nature have their minds set on what that nature desires. But those who live in accordance with the Spirit have their minds set on what the Spirit desires. The mind of sinful man is death, but the mind controlled by the Spirit is life and peace. Because the sinful mind is hostile to God. It does not submit to God's law, nor can it do so. Those controlled by the sinful nature cannot please God.
Notice this, the flesh, or as it's translated here, the sinful nature, is death. The mind controlled by sin is hostile to God, rebels against God, is an enemy of God's. And as rebels, as all rebels do, we refuse to submit to God's law. And in fact, as the Bible says here, we're not able to do so. Such a person, trapped by sin, cannot please God. And all of us are like this. By nature, we rebel against God. You may think this is unduly harsh, but listen to what the Lord Jesus says in John 6 and verse 44, which Derek's going to read to us now.
No one can come to me unless the Father who sent me draws him, and I will raise him up at the last day.
You see, Jesus is saying there, no one can come to me unless the Father draws him. Well, why is that? Jesus is a lovely Saviour. God is a God of love. Why shouldn't human beings want to come? Well, sin, as we have seen, has had such a profound effect upon us that although the Lord Jesus is full of life and a life giver, we will refuse to come to him unless God the Father draws us to the Lord Jesus Christ. This deadness is truly dark and terrible and oppressive. Even our minds cannot understand God's word without God working in us, as the Apostle Paul says in 1 Corinthians 2 and verse 14, which Derek will read now.
The man without the Spirit does not accept the things that come from the Spirit of God, for they are foolishness to him, and he cannot understand them because they are spiritually discerned.
So we see deadness and inability to please God or to come to God. We see a hostility towards God as a result of sin.
John, that is a dreadful expose, really, of our condition as sinners. And it certainly leaves no room, does it, for human pride to boast how good we are and how to brag about what we can achieve as far as God is concerned. It really is, well, quite stunning. We're desperately needy. John, why is it that we do such sinful things?
We do sinful things, Derek, because we have a sinful nature, a sinful heart. We're born sinners, born rebels. So as we grow and live, it shows itself in specific sins. We have a sinful heart, and therefore we do sinful actions. And it's important for us to see that sequence. Jeremiah says, the prophet Jeremiah says, that we've got a sinful heart in Jeremiah 17 and verse 9, which Derek will read to us now.
The heart is deceitful above all things and beyond cure. Who can know it?
All those years ago, Jeremiah saw that all of us human beings have hearts which are deceitful and are beyond cure. The Lord Jesus says the same so many years later, as Derek reads to us from Matthew 15, 16-20.
Are you so dull, Jesus asked them? Don't you see that whatever enters the mouth goes into the stomach and then out of the body? But the things that come out of the mouth come from the heart, and these make a man unclean. For out of the heart come evil thoughts, murder, adultery, sexual immorality, theft, false testimony, slander. These are what make a man unclean. But eating with unwashed hands does not make him unclean.
The background of this is that people were worried about the disciples eating without ceremonially washing their hands and thus becoming ceremonially unclean. But Jesus says sin comes from the sinful heart, and it's that that makes human beings unclean. King David in the Old Testament sees this sinful heart being present with us from the very moment of conception. He says in Psalm 51, "Surely I have been a sinner from birth, sinful from the time my mother conceived me."
John, we only have to look as far as our own lives to see that we live in a sinful world. But is it true to say that everyone is sinful, even a child?
Yes, Derek. We're all human beings, we're all descendants of Adam, and therefore we're all sinners. We're born with a sinful heart. Remember, the Bible says, "For all have sinned and fall short of the glory of God." Now, it's interesting this, because so many people think that a baby is born good, and it's what is done to the baby that makes it a sinner. And yet, if you ask any parent, "Is your child perfect?" they laugh at you and shake their heads. And yet if they've started as human beings with something that's entirely good, and they turn out human beings which are as flawed as themselves with sin and difficulties, what terrible parents they've been. Because after all, they've made a mess of things, and all parents have made a mess of things. But the Bible says that all of us have sinful hearts from birth, and however good the parents are, all of us will sin and fall short of the glory of God. And we have seen that sin produces deadness in sin. We have a sinful heart, and so we do sin. And we're all sinners from birth.
Yes, I think every parent knows they never have to teach their children to do wrong. They just do it automatically, don't they?
That's right.
God's dealings with us are very gracious. He patiently helps us to see that we are indeed sinful people, even though for most of us that's a very painful process, but absolutely essential. You'll remember Jesus said in Matthew chapter 9 and verse 5, "It is not the healthy who need a doctor, but the sick." In other words, we will not see our need of a saviour until we first realise how desperately sick with sin our own hearts are. God could justly destroy us, but he lovingly and tenderly makes us aware that all is not well between us and him. And he doesn't stop there, for he graciously points us to his Son, the Lord Jesus Christ, who is able to forgive our sin and transform our lives. This amazing kindness of God is something that stirs the hearts of both new and old believers alike to praise and worship God for such mercy to us. And that's all we have time for here on Serving Today. This is Andrew Cook saying goodbye. May God be with you in your service for Jesus Christ, our Saviour. Well, we hope you enjoyed listening to Serving Today, a podcast from the Grace Baptist Mission radio team. There are a number of ways to get in touch. Our email address is servingtoday@gbm.org.uk. Find us on Twitter at servingtodaygbm. Or you can search our web catalogue at www.gbm.org.uk/radio. Thanks for listening and goodbye.